Hello and welcome to this edition of the Presbyterian Podcast with me, Gethin Russell-Jones. Hello a chroeso I rifyn newydd o'r podlediad presbyteraidd gyda fi, Gethin Russell-Jones. In this bilingual edition, we'll hear from the newly appointed chaplain for older people and her vision for this pioneering role. We'll also think about the assisted dying bill as it makes its way through Parliament and how we as Christians and churches might form a response. Yn y rhifyn dwyieithog hwn, cawn glywed gan y caplan newydd ei phenodi ar gyfer pobl hŷn a'i gweledigaeth ar gyfer y gwaith arloesol hwn. Byddwn hefyd yn ystyried y bil cymorth i farw wrth iddo wneud ei waith drwy'r Senedd yn San Steffan ac yn meddwl sut y gallwn ni fel Cristnogion ac Eglwysi linio ymateb.
Well, my name is Samantha Hodgins and my job title is Chaplain to Older Adults within the PCW.
You are the Chaplain for Older Adults within the Presbyterian Church of Wales. This sounds like a new role to me, Sam, is that right?
Correct, yeah, it is a new role. You might know, Gethin, that the GOLID scheme ran for 3 years and that finished last year. But we felt really within the PCW, especially within the women's department, that we had some funding from CWM and there was some money left over. And instead of sort of kicking me to the side of the road, they decided, Nan, in her wisdom, decided to make a role that came off the back of this GOLID project. So working with older people within our churches is something that... A lot of people felt it was an important role, really, which perhaps has gone astray, I suppose, over the years. We've focused lots on young people and youth and family, but older people tend to get kind of sidelined, really. So, yeah, that's where it came from. That's where the desire came from.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, but the GOLID project was particularly concerned with helping older people with dementia.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah, it was specifically with dementia because dementia numbers are risen dramatically, significantly, really, over the last few years. Numbers at the moment are 944,000 in the UK living with dementia, and it's said to rise to over 1 million by 2030. So it really is on the rise. So we felt that we should do something about it within our churches rather than kind of twiddle our thumbs and think, well, how are we going to do this now? Because many of our members and elders, even people in our churches who have had a diagnosis of dementia, were really struggling, and as well as their loved ones and carers. So we wanted to help them and support them. And, we weren't experts and there's no way that we would even sort of say that we were, but we just wanted to be able to help and support people within our churches to access resources and how can they still worship? How are people coping with their loved ones living with dementia? How are they getting to church? Are they getting to church? Are they still being discipled? All these questions and ministers and workers had some questions as well because they felt that they weren't able to provide information and resources for people living with dementia and their carers. And so it came out of that, really, that kind of need within the churches. So we produced some resources and they've been valuable, really, to many people.
Mm. So out of that amazing GOLID project has come this new role that you've now been appointed to, Sam. So tell us about the breadth of this role, what you hope to achieve in it.
Well, it's a 7 hour a week role, so there's only so much I can achieve in 7 hours a week. And at the moment, most of that is taken up by this conference that we've been organising, but I think we'll talk a little bit about that later. So I'm hoping, our prayer really is that the conference will be a bit of a springboard, a bit of a catalyst to what is required, what is needed within the churches. what issues people see as needing attention, you know, the what you know what how people's walk with the Lord is as valuable now when they're retirees as it was when they were younger. And many people feel that they've been kind of pushed aside when they retire. And let's face it, within, I mean, I can't speak for every denomination, but within the PCW, most people sustaining our churches are retirees, aren't they? So, you know, they're doing the job, but we want to know how we can support them, how we can, without patronizing them, how we can sort of, yeah, just support them really, how we can make sure that they're not left alone and that they're still disciples, because that never changes, does it? And one of the other things really that we felt quite strongly about in the beginning was what does it look like? What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? How can we care for people in a godly way within our churches without sort of making them feel patronized in those? So really, you know, to be honest with you, at the moment, I'm not really 100% sure what the role will be until we get some feedback from the conference. And so, yeah, on that, many people, you need to book the conference to to help me know my role.
Well, we'll talk about the conference just in a minute or two, Sam, but I'm intrigued. You're right. You talked about retirees forming a considerable part of PCW, but also many other denominations and churches across Wales and the UK. What do you think, or what, in terms of what you've observed through your work, what are the major challenges that older people, older Christians face, as you see it?
I think, in my experience, often a married couple, one will have some kind of issue that stops them coming to church, whether it's dementia, whether it's an illness, whether it's just kind of disabilities as people get older, they're not able to walk and those kinds of things. And so I think it kind of starts there where people feel they don't want to leave their loved ones at home. And so that is a problem. And sometimes, especially people living with dementia, they can't be left on their own. And so that causes an issue within their marriage. It causes an issue within their walk with the Lord. And so loneliness is a big part of that. People feel lonely and shut off and cut off from the community that they've been part of for so many years, and that really is an echo that goes through most churches, that people are feeling lonely and cut off. And so we do our best really pastorally to kind of visit as much as we can and get pastoral teams. Not every church is able to do that. We're well aware of that. But I think sometimes people bury their heads and they don't really know what to do, and so they don't do anything, and that can be a problem as well. I think another issue really, which has been spoken about a lot lately, is things like inability to use technology. People not being able to go to the bank. A lot of people, generally people over 65 to about, I don't know, 75, are still quite young in many ways, and so they've kind of kept up with some technology. But often people over that age don't have a phone, they don't have a laptop, they don't have a computer, and so they can't access banks, or they can't go to the post office, or they can't fill in forms. And so those things are problems really within not just within the church, but generally in life, isn't it? But I think dementia is one of the highest rising issues we have just in the world in general.
Sure.
And so that's a big thing really.
And you mentioned technology there, Sam. I mean, there's so much of life happens now through apps, and electronic means. And of course, a lot of church life, Christian gatherings, The conversation we're having at the moment is only made possible because of an app called Zoom, and it's well enough if you know how to use these things, but it can be incredibly daunting if it feels like another language you've never no one's ever taught to you.
It's frightening for people because, especially, if you, for example, if you have a loved one who needs care or support, how do you know where to get these things from? How do you access forms? How do you access information? How, if you're not aware of organizations like the Alzheimer's Society, who are excellent at offering practical help for people. There's other organisations, Dementia UK, but Alzheimer's Society particularly very well, and Carers UK, they're excellent at helping. However, all these things can only be accessed through technology, through using a computer of some description. And so I think that is a big problem that we've come across. As I say, it's not just in the church, it's just the general observation.
Well, Sam, you referred to a conference that you're organizing in October. I wonder if you could tell us the date, the venue, and the kinds of things that, or maybe the speakers, the kind of things that you're hoping to address on that day.
Certainly, yeah. The conference is called Grace for Every Season, Ministering Amongst Older Adults, and it takes place in Park End Presbyterian Church in Cardiff on October the 11th. And it's going to run from about 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. 10 o'clock, you turn up for coffee, and then 10:30, the conference will start. There's two main speakers: Tina English, who founded Embracing Age Charity. She is going to speak first, and she's going to speak on why the church should be a great place to grow old, God's heart for the older generations. And she's written a book on that theme as well. And then John Trahan, who's a Welsh speaker from South Wales, this one is in Welsh, but there's translation available. He's going to be speaking on addressing the needs of faith in older adults and the challenges they face. Things like temptation and things like that. We don't think that older people kind of can be struggle with those kind of things, but they do, clearly. And so John has obviously had lots of experience in his role as a minister. And then we have five separate seminars which will run concurrently. Tina is doing one on dementia. John is his is on encouraging faith and finishing well. We have Karen Jennings, who is a colleague of mine, because I also work for MHA. I work as a chaplain to in the care home for people with living with dementia. So she's coming, and she's going to be talking about care home ministry. And Peter Milsom, who's a Cardiff man, he's talking about encouraging faith and finishing well. And then Phil Jenkins, who's also in Cardiff, passing on the baton in the church. So it's a great selection of people with all sorts of experience, experts really in their field. And we're hoping that the conference is not just going to attract old people, as many, as wonderful as that would be. If we say old, we talk about retirees, but I don't think we should call old people old people. I think we should call them retirees or older folk or whatever we want to call them. But we want to encourage every age in the church to come to this conference so they can know better and be equipped to serve one another as a family, as the family of God in the churches. And so we want to see young people wanting to be able to encourage older people. And older people giving their expert sort of experience really to help younger people as well. So it's a that's I mean Titus 2 talks about that quite a lot. And so we want to that's the kind of environment we want to encourage really. And the event is free. The conference is free, but you do have to book. Again, using technology, using the QR code, or there's a link that you can look at on Eventbrite. but there's free lunch as well. So unless you're living miles away, there's no excuse. You can turn up and enjoy the conference.
And Sam, the as you've already alluded to, that not only is the church or churches, it's quite an aging kind of institution in many ways, not exclusively, but that are more generally across the UK, it's an aging population. There are far more older people, I think, around than probably there used to be. People are living longer, fewer people. Well, the birth rate is quite a lot lower than it was some decades ago. And so that's reflected in the media a lot. There are lots of stories about concerns around aging and what it means to be a retiree or an aging person. And I'm wondering, in terms of the kind of headline story, the big news stories of the moment in relation to aging, what do you think are the big concerns that are coming your way? Nationally now, in terms of the process of aging and the implications of that for society.
I think one of the major things that we seem to be concerned about is that people are living longer, and that's due to various reasons. And so, because people are living longer, palliative care isn't always available, and it's not always great. And as I said, I work in a care home, and the weekly charge is astronomical, really. And so people are struggling to get good care. I'm not saying that council care is not good, but I think you get what you pay for, don't you, in many ways. But I think the biggest concern that we have really is the assisted dying bill. And it's just past the second reading, and the next stage is onto the committees. And it's very disconcerting, really. It's worrying when you hear people in the House of Commons talking about assisted dying. Personally, I think we're better off calling it assisted suicide, because I think that's really what it is. We're assisting people to take their own lives, because for all sorts of reasons. It breaks my heart, really. But I guess really, if I wasn't a Christian and I didn't believe in God and there was no God, I think really all bets are off. And I think anything's permissible, and anything goes. When I see people in the care home, or when I visit people who are in our churches, and maybe their loved ones are dying, or they have dementia, or they have cancer, or whatever it may be, or a stroke. And people say, I just want them to be out of pain. I want it to be over. I just wish, people don't often say, I want them to die, but that's what they mean. And I get it. I honestly do get it. I understand the pain that they go through, because believe it or not, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody who's really dying, but they don't look peaceful. They don't look happy. They don't look anything other than in distress and in pain. And it's absolutely heartbreaking for families to watch their loved ones go through that. And I guess really, if, as I said, if I wasn't a Christian, I would totally understand where they're coming from. However, we are created in God's image, and there is a God, and I am a Christian. And so my foundation isn't based on what I think, it's based on what the Bible says. In Psalm 139 tells us that all the days ordained for us were written in the book. And so our intrinsic value doesn't depend on our ability to speak or contribute, but by what God has done and what he continues to do. And this life is transient. We read that quite a lot in the Bible. And dementia is temporary, cancer is temporary, and it takes lives. It kills people. However, we believe that when you become a Christian, you have eternity to look forward to, and it's not just about what happens right now, it's about eternity. And so I don't think we have the right to tell God what his job is and what his role is. I think we have to be very careful as Christians, and we must seek God's guidance in these kinds of matters, because we tend to make God in our image otherwise, and we move goalposts. And while at the moment, you know, the bill that they're asking to push through is for people who are terminally ill, up to who have 6 months or less to live. I wonder how long that's going to remain like that. I wonder how long it's going to, how long it'll take for the goalposts to move, whether it's, you know, a bit longer or different people, or it just keeps going, and it becomes a bit of a consumerism thing. Life is not a consumerism thing to be grasped at, is it? It's we're created in the image of God to reflect His glory, and it's worrying really that people really feel that we have the right to decide who lives and who dies.
Mae'r bil cymorth i farw, a elwyr hefyd yn fil oedolion yn derfynol wael diwedd oes, yn gwneud ei daith drwy'r Senedd yn San Steffan. Mae eisoes wedi mynd trwy'r dir cyffredin ac yn awr o dan ystyriaeth yn hir ar glwyddi. Pe bai'n dod yn gyfraith, byddai'n galluogi oedolion a salwch terfynol sydd allai'n y chwe mis i fyw i ofyn am gymorth meddygol i ddod â'u bywydau i ben. Yn ddiweddar, siaradais ar Parch Hugh Powell Davies, gweinidog gyda'r Eglwys Presbyteraidd ac hefyd yn gaplan ysbyty, i glywed ei farn.
Hugh Powell Davies, dwi'n enw fi. Dwi'n nidog yn Sir y Flint, yn byw yn yr Wyddgrug, yn gaplan i'r ymddiriedolaeth iechyd felly yn ysbyty gymunedol yr Wyddgrug, ac yn dal nifer o swyddi eraill fel yn y cyfundeb rwsyd hefyd.
Wel, diolch i ti am ymuno dyn ni heddi, Hugh. A dyn ni am sôn am y bil cymorth i farw, assisted dying bil, sy'n wedi pasio trwy'r tir cyffredin ac ar ei ffordd drwy'r tir arglwyddi ar y foment, ac hyd yn hyn wedi pasio heb fawr wrth wynebiad. Ti'n gwbod, wrth i ni fel unigolion trafod y mater, wrth i'r enwad trial ymdopi ar y mater, ti'n gwbod, beth yw dy, nid jyst dy farn di, ond beth yw'r, beth sydd yn dy feddwl di wrth i ti creu rhyw fath o safbwynt personol. Ti'n gwbod, beth sydd fel Christian, fel gweinidog, fel caplan, ffordd ti'n ffindio dy ffordd trwyddo?
Wel, cydnabod i ddechrau bod o fater, gallu bod o fater sensitif, wrth gwrs, ac rwy'n yn cydnabod hynny wrth godi'r pwnc a siarad hefo aelodau a chyflwyno'r mater ger bron cynulleidfaoedd, ac hefyd bod yn cynnig arweiniad, gobeithiodd yn arweiniad sensitif iddyn nhw, pan oedd yr materion yma'n codi, chyma maen nhw wedi bod ar yr agenda yr Llywodraeth ac ati, maen nhw wedi cael eu codi fel Private Members Bill yn fan hyn llynedd, a hwnnw sydd yn mynd drwadd ar hyn o bryd. Ond chyma dod rwy'n yn gweld hynny'n dod ers blynyddoedd, a pan oeddwn ni'n ysgrifennydd yr Pwyllgor Eglwys a Chymdeithas nôl yr ddegawd a mwy yn ôl. Chymod, oedd hwn yn fater adeg hynny. Ac mi luniwyd ymateb fel petai mi ddaru ni gymryd arweiniad gan Eglwysi Ewrop ynglyn â'r mater. A'r pwyslais yna ar werth bywyd, felly yn ei hanfod sylfaenol ym mhob ystyr, ac yna yr gwerth yna o ran sydd i liniaru afiechyd, i wneud yn siŵr bod y claf yn ddiboen, bod yna, fel da ni'n galw chymod, mae'n term euthanasia. Wel, yr hyn ydy hwnnw'n ei hanfod ydy marw yn dda. ryw yr marw, yr da felly, a bywyd a'r marwolaeth yma sydd yn rhan ohono fo. Ac yma, da ni ne fel Eglwys yn cydnabod yn dyden bod marwolaeth yn rhan o fywyd. A bod yr arglwydd yn mesur hyd yn bywyd ni ac yn rhoi, nid yn ni sydd â hawl arno fo rwsyd chwaith. Ond bod yna, bod ni ne hefyd eisiau gweld pobl nid yn cael ei chymod cymell neu i rhoi pwysau arnyn nhw i fod yn llai o drafferth i bawb drwy cymryd y camau yma sy'n cael eu cynnig rwan yn yr bil sydd yn mynd drwadd ar hyn o bryd. Ond bod yn gwerthfawrogi bywyd er i fod o'n fregus ac yn wan, bod o'i gyd yn werthfawr ynddo. Ac chyma, mae yna lot o ystyriaethau yng nghanol hyn i gyd. Nid y lleiaf ohonyn nhw, chyma, y teimlad pobl anabal. Ynglyn â gwerth i bywydau. A teimlad rhai sydd yn mynd yn hun hefyd felly. Wedyn, o ran profiad personol, chymod, mae'r daliad chymod, hanfodol, gwylodol yna gennau i o ran gwerth bywyd, felly. Ond y profiad ydy bod yn gweinidogaethu bobl amryw sydd yn mynd drwy'r dyffryn tywyll di ar y diwedd, yn atgoffa nhw bod yr arglwydd gyda nhw, ac yn credu ac yn gweld, wedi gweld cymaint o werth sydd yn y cyfnod yna. Chymod, tymor, yn bynnag mae o'n bara, tymor ydi o, amser ydi o, a dyma'r amser i fyw, amser i farw, meddai llyfr y Pregethwr felly. Ond bod o'n amser ac yn dymor i'w werthfawrogi hefyd. Ac i'r graddau, mae'n bosib, mae'n lliniaru poen yn y cyfnod yna. Gwneud hwnna yn gyfnod lle mae'r claf yn gallu gwerthfawrogi a chynnig diolchgarwch hefyd am bopeth a mae o'n hi yn ei dderbyn. Ac mae rwy'n yn ystyried chymod, beth i gofal y teulu a sefyllfa'r teulu yn yr cyfnod arbennig yna hefyd pa mae yna rhywun yn gweili a pa maen nhw angen gofal lliniarol felly palliative care. A dyn ni wedi gweld gweld gofal lliniarol da iawn yn cael ei gynnig yn ysbytai cymunedol yma yn bennaf, yn yr ardal, yn benodol wedyn yn yr hospisau, ond mae'r rheini wrth gwrs ar wahân i'r gwasanaeth iechyd ac yn cael ei ffyndio ac mae'n heglwysu ni. Chymod, ynglyn â phwyllgorau sy'n codi arian tuag at yr hosbisau yma ac yn codi miloedd, y grŵp yma'n lleol yn Wyddgrug yn codi 7,000 bob, wel, flwyddyn dwytha, beth bynnag. A mae'r pwysau yna arnyn nhw, ac maen nhw'n dymuno gwneud hynny er mwyn ffyndio gofal lliniarol yn ein cymunedau ni. A dyn ni eisiau gweld datblygu ar y ddarpariaeth yna hefyd. Chymod, does dim rhaid i neb fod mewn poen. Mae yna ofal ar gael. Mae yna ddarpariaeth, ond mae angen iddo fo fod y gorau gall o fod, felly. A dyna, dwi'n meddwl, chymod, dyn ni'n derbyn, felly, bod y bil yma yn mynd drwadd, ond dyn ni'n pwyso yr un pryd am y gofal ar ddarpariaeth lliniarol ore bosib wedi'w ariannu, ore bosib a'i drefnu yn y ffordd ore bosib ac sydd ar gael i bawb sydd ei angen o. Bydd yn gymorth i'r claf, yn gymorth hefyd i'r teulu sydd hefo nhw ac yn gofalu yn ystod y cyfnod y tymor yma pan mae'r gwely yn digwydd ynddo ar diwedd ddim ymhell i ffwrdd.
Ac wyt ti newydd gyrru llythyr i dy aelod seneddol di, Hugh, yn mynegi dy farn ar safbwynt yma. Be oedd ti'n trial... Beth oedd pwrpas y llythyr yn dy farn di? Beth oedd ti'n trial gweithredu?
Wel, o'n i'n annog chymod, pan oedd y bil ger bron sy'r cyffredin i'r aelodau bod yn yr llythyr, yn cyflwyno y materion yn chymod, iddyn nhw, ac iddyn nhw the bod yn gyrru ac yn dweud pethau ni geiriau eu hunain. A wedyn i fyne roedd rannu fy mhrofiad hefyd, chymod, sydd yn brofiad i 20 mlynedd yn Gaplan Sbyty, yn mynd yn fwy nôl wedyn o ran yr ofalaeth. Ych chi'n jyst rhannu'r profiadau yna, ynddo, beth wedi weld yr diolchgarwch ymhlith tyluoedd, ych chi'n bod nhw wedi gallu gwneud i gorau, bod hynny yn help iddyn nhw wrth iddyn nhw alaru am anwyliad, a bod nhw wedi gallu bod hefo nhw, bod nhw wedi gallu trysori yr amser yna, all fod yn amser digon anodd ar ddiwedd bywyd, felly. A jyst rhannu profiadau, rili, really, ynglyn â, chymod, gallu bod gyda bobl ar yr adegau yna. Sut mae'r holl gyfnod yn gallu effeithio ar y claf ac ar y teulu yn gyfan a bod eisiau ystyried hynny i gyd yn de. Yn ystod y cyfnod ac wedyn hefyd, achos chymod, mi all ymdeimlad o iogrwydd fod gan y claf, gan y teulu hefyd, os oes yna rhywbeth wedi wneud sydd wedi'w gymryd, chymod, benderfyniad wedi'w gymryd yn frysiog, neu bod yn teimlo bod yna bwysau wedi bod arnyn nhw i gymryd penderfyniad i fod yn dod â bywyd rhywun i ben. Mae'n ddigon enghreifftiau, dyn ni'n ei weld o. Eisoes, felly, pan mae pobl yn dod wyneb yn wyneb ar penderfyniad yna, yn gorfod troi y peiriant cynnal bywyd i ffwrdd, chymod, yn wedi gwneud yr hyn sydd angen, a'r hyn sydd yn rhesymol, felly, a chymod, pan mae'r diwedd yn dod a'r penderfyniadau yn cael eu gwneud, maen nhw angen pobl o'u cwmpas nhw, pob cydymdeimlad a gras hefyd, felly. A mae o'n gyfnod, chymod, nid yw gymryd yn ysgafn fel petai, chymod, gan bwysleisio'r gwerth yma sydd i fywyd ynddo. Ie, yeah, wedyn cadw mewn cysylltiad, chymod, mae'r seilod wedyn yn hannog hithau i fod yn pleidleisio gati ar y pryd yn ôl i chydwybod rwsyd ac yn ôl i phrofiad ei hun a gwrando ar brofiad etholwyr. Ond yn ei sicrhau, ond gweddiau ni fel dros yn cynrychiolwyr eraill i gyd mewn gwirionedd, gweddiau ni wrth iddyn nhw fod yn gorfod gwneud penderfyniadau fel hyn, ynglyn â chyfreithiau fel hyn, ac iddyn nhw gael pob doethineb i yng nghanol hynny.
The Assisted Dying Bill, also known as the Terminally Ill Adults End of Life Bill, is making its way through Parliament. It has passed through the House of Commons and is now under consideration in the House of Lords. Should it become law, it would enable terminally ill adults with less than 6 months to live to request medical assistance to end their lives. I recently chatted to the Reverend Hugh Powell Davis, a Presbyterian church minister and hospital chaplain, about his views.
Hello, Gethin. My name is Hugh Powell Davis. I'm a minister here in Flintshire, amongst the Welsh-speaking church, some of the Welsh-speaking churches in Flintshire, based in Mold. Hospital chaplain for over 20 years now in the community hospital in Mold here, and hold a number of responsibilities with the connection.
Well, Hugh, the assisted dying bill is making its way through Parliament. It's passed through the Commons. It's with the House of Lords, and so far there has been some opposition, but it seems as though if this carries on, this bill will become law at some point. And I'm wondering, help our listeners, as we think as individuals and as a church, as we try to come to terms with some of the really big questions posed by this piece of legislation. How do you, you know, how do you personally frame these subjects? How do you navigate your way through to come to a decision that you're comfortable with?
Well, you're right, Gethin. It is a big subject, and it does go to the basis of a lot of things we believe, really, in terms of the value of life and all life, really. However much that life of that individual can contribute towards, society at large, really, that they are valued by that community. And really basing things on that value of life. And really we call it as Christians the sanctity of life, but facing reality and we've opposed such bills for many, many years, and written to our elected representatives for decades, really, about this issue. But we have to accept now the legislation is as it is, however workable it will be. But we need to also, in the midst of this bill and at this time, and to put pressure on our government at this time, and to fund our health service so that palliative care provision can be the best it pos it's possible for it to be for the patient or the one facing the end, as it were. And for the family also, who is caring for that individual, whatever their circumstances may be. And we need to emphasize that care, that it is properly funded, that it is there for everybody, whatever their circumstances, everybody that needs that provision of palliative care, whatever form it takes. And that it's put right up there on the agenda. I know that we have hospices here locally, and we have church members involved, heavily involved in raising money towards those hospices, thousands and thousands of pounds every year to maintain this provision, which we value greatly, really. And they are wonderful places, as many of our community hospitals are wonderful places, and there's an ethos in those places of care and value for life. In terms of workability, we need to strengthen the hands of these people who are the carers in our community. We need to pray for them. We need to hold on to them. We need to encourage them in their work, really, also, and that they're properly funded and supported in all means to do this one valued work.
Oh, you recently wrote a letter, Hugh, to your Aelod Seneddol, the Member of Parliament, expressing your viewpoint about this assisted dying bill. I wonder if you could tell us what were some of the things you expressed to her?
Yeah, so as I was encouraging the congregations and in our presbytery also to just write and express their views and personal experience really of this whole matter. Everybody has their own personal experiences, and we need to value those experiences, and our elected representatives need to hear them. And I was just sharing in the same manner my personal experience, having been had the privilege really of pastoring families who are going through the valley of the shadow of death with their loved ones, who are grieving after their loss, and thankfully, as it were, I haven't been in that situation where I've had to minister to somebody who has chosen to take the path of assisted dying. But I know how much that can affect not only the individual, of course, and their thoughts, a thought process, and the pressure that might be upon them, but can affect the whole family also. But really just expressing and that it is a valued time, really. That time, it doesn't last forever. There is an end to it, that it is a season of life. We are told by the psalmist that the Lord does not disregard the death of his saints. You know, it's a special time in the sights of the Lord himself. And I've seen so many times, really, how the Lord arranges for things to be the best they can around that time. And that's been wonderful, really, to experience that, how people have been able to come together, be there, how things have worked out, really, in that dark place, really, which looking from the outside inwards at it, but can be a place of blessing and peace also, at the end of life.
Diolch am wrando. Gobeithio'ch bod wedi mwynhau'r podlediad. Grandiwch mas am yr un nesa yn fuan, ond tan hynny, hwyl fawr am y tro. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Listen out for the next one soon, but until then, goodbye from us all.